This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, good day, good morning, wherever you are on the planet. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and the giggling you hear is, of course, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hi, Doug. Hi, good evening, everybody. I don't know, it just tickled me the way you said that. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are.
Yeah, well, you know, it is global program, so, and anyway, it's good to have everybody with us tonight, those who are listening to the live program as well as the archive listeners. Always appreciate you taking your time to tune in. And, of course, today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2013. Tonight we are going to be talking about metaphysical education, enhancing the human condition through metaphysical education. Speaking of education, MCHS Church also operates a couple of schools. The primary is metaphysicsinstitute.org, and we offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with specializations in various areas such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, and several others. So if you'd like more information on that, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Before we get into tonight's main material, we'll do our regular profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you'd like more information on MCHS Church or these 9 principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. Now, tonight, we are going to be focusing on principle of belief 8, and I'll read that again. We believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Now, let's talk a little bit about that, just kind of set the tone for this program tonight. A practical education in metaphysics. Well, metaphysics is a study of consciousness and existence, it's reality. Metapsychology, well, meta means beyond, so it really is beyond psychology. It really has to do with the spiritual aspect, the spiritual, psychological aspect of consciousness in human beings. And, of course, life skills, just, you know, the everyday life skills that we need and use and need to learn more. And we believe that learning these life skills, this metaphysical education, will enhance the human condition. That's what tonight's program is about, really. And as far as the description, it points out that it's no secret that the quality of life is directly related to the quality of education. This is something, this is not, you know, new probably to you, it's not news, but the more educated we are, the better things go. I mean, if you look at some of these big cities, especially the inner city problems they have, you know, the education's low, and you end up having young folks who, well, you know, they turn to gangs, they turn to, they don't go anywhere because they just, the education's there. There's so many people who have so much potential, but they don't know it, and they don't recognize it. And of course, you factor in the low self-esteem problems that plague the planet, you know, and they just, they don't fulfill their purpose, their mission, and they don't reach their potential. And so metaphysical education, including life skills, are critical to have a better quality of life and an enhanced living experience.
There's all kinds of education, Doug. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a university graduate with a PhD, because sometimes that education is not what you want, because it's too mental,
mm-hmm.
too head stuff, you know, with no practical, you know, application to it. And that's what we talk about, you know, there's a grounded application to what you learn. So I really think when you're mentioning about kids, I think it's because they're filling their head full of stuff that nobody can quite understand, to be honest. But
could be.
I think that we are experiential learners. Everyone, doesn't matter how you process, we're all experiential. Because once you experience something, you learn from it. You know, life is 3- and 4-dimensional. We have all kinds of experiences. So I take education to a point of self-interest, you know, of what interests you, what do you like to read about. And so whether it's, I don't care if you're 6 years old, 16, or 66, and of course that's not me, but,
you know. No, 29 is you.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. But it's what are you interested in? Because you can't really learn about anything unless you have an interest. However, there is something that's really important that we all have to, at some kind of structure in our lives, agree on, is that we're a spirit in a body. You know, there is something spiritual and energetic and universal going on. And I think that's what, you know, a metaphysical education is about.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jim Rohn, motivational speaker, once said, and I'm just paraphrasing, that college education will earn you a living. Self-education will make you rich. And, of course, that rich can mean in many ways. And this is something I just want to focus and zero in on. There's so many folks out there who just don't know that they don't know. Sometimes they do know that they don't know. But think about self-awareness. When you become more self-aware, when you become more conscious of who you are and the world around you, you go up the levels a little bit on enlightenment. I mean, you grow. And so when we look at our education, how educated are we? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about college education. That's great. That's fine. But even if you don't have the means to get a college education, you can still self-educate. I mean, we've got the greatest invention ever right at our fingertips, you know, the internet. There's a ton of information. A lot of people like to put it down, you know, but it's like anything else in life. You got to use some critical thinking. You got to use some good judgment, but there's a lot of good information online. You can educate yourself in so many different things. I mean, even YouTube's got so many educational things, and that's not even talking about the rest of the net. So we need to embrace education. And even if you think, well, yes, I learn, and I learn all the time, that's great, but are you really focused on it? You know, one of the things I like to recommend is spend 15 minutes a day learning something new, and that can be anything. 15 minutes a day, I mean, and ask yourself, are you spending 15 minutes a day at least learning something new? Be eclectic. Learn new skills, and there's so many of them. The ones that are going to get you ahead in life, communication skills, that's a huge one. You know, are you personable? Are you down to earth? When you do emails, are they professional? Do you greet the person? Do you use a salutation? Do you watch your tone? You make sure their message comes through okay, and then do you sign it? Are your emails written in all lowercase? Honestly, that's sloppy and it's lazy. Write them properly, because the message you send is not just in the words. It's how it's presented. Presentation's everything, as they say. And so when we're talking about communication skills, if you are lacking in those communication skills, learn them. I mean, again, go online if you don't have the ability to enroll somewhere and take some courses. Go learn how to be an effective communicator, how to express yourself well. You know, improve your writing skills. You can do that online, too. There's all kinds of ways to learn that stuff, you know, to become a good writer, at least an acceptable writer. And a lot of folks just don't know how to write. And when they write a letter to somebody, especially if they're in business, you know, that message comes through. Wow, uneducated. Well, you don't want that message to come through. You want to be educated. You want to do it properly. You want to have that sense of pride in yourself that you can do it, that you can rise to the occasion, that you can grow and learn. Spend 15 minutes a day just learning something new or more. Those are just some excellent suggestions for growing, for being better tomorrow than you were yesterday.
You know, Doug, most of the people in my years of doing readings and counseling, when I ask them, do you self-study? Most say no. They don't even know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that our listeners can relate to this. How many times do you see a relationship where one of the partners is really interested in learning and is shoving the book in their partner's face? Hey, this is interesting. But they're not interested. You see? So,
well,
you know, and it happens all the time. Two people get together. They have a lot of mutual interests. And they connect, they get married, and 2-5 years down the road, one of them is saying, geez, okay, I fulfilled that, now I want to learn some more. But they didn't count on their partner not being on the same wave.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty typical.
One of the problems we've had ever since television was invented, is that a lot of people get their education through TV, and that's drama. Those are shows.
Yeah.
You know, they learn their relationship skills through television. They learn a lot of stuff through TV. Well, there's a lot of cool documentaries on TV, too, and I'm not saying that those are not valid. What I'm saying is that I've heard so many people, they don't like to read. Why? Because they're not good readers. If you have a problem reading, learn how to read better and read, because reading, the ability to read, is directly related to the quality of the education you're going to get. If you don't like to read, you might want to rethink that belief system that you have, that reading is not fun, it's hard, and if you, again, have deficiencies in reading, get some help, learn. I mean, there's places to go for that, even online. Learn how to be a good reader and a critical reader, critical thinking reader. You know, don't just take everything at face value. Think about it. Does it make sense? Is it reasonable? But learn how to be a good reader, and don't rely on television to teach you relationship skills, because if I watch TV, it's going to teach me that marriages are hard at best, that partnerships, intimate partnerships are hard at best, that it's okay to have knockdown, drag out arguments, that that's just, you know, par for the course.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. But I'm here to tell you that's not true. You know, arguing in a marriage does not have to happen. Arguing never has to happen. You can agree to disagree. I mean, Tracy and I have been together now, gosh, going on 16 years. We still have yet to have an argument. We've never argued, not once. And some people don't believe me, but that's absolutely true. We've never had a fight or an argument. It just doesn't happen. Never raise our voices. We discuss things. You know, we use real relationship skills because we've been there, done that. We know how to have a relationship. And so when you educate yourself and you think, wow, why does it have to be? I mean, I grew up hearing from my dad that marriage at best is hard. Well, that's, yeah, his was, and so was my first, but this one's not. This one's easy. You know, it's easy. It doesn't have to be hard. So that's part of that critical thinking. Don't just accept it. Think about it. Think about it. Is this true?
Well, here is the thing that we don't like to accept about ourselves, Doug, that if you're in a crowd or in a community or in a city or whatever, sometimes mediocre is as good as it's going to get. And when you want to get married and you want to have the family and you are determined to nest, like, because that's, hey, that's natural. And you look around and that's all you got, people take the best of the worst, you know? And this does happen. So, you know, I think what we all need to do, and we're in a time in history where we do need to step up our game. And stepping up our game is learning about more than we have. And I'm not talking things. I'm talking, it's called intelligence, not intellect. Intelligence is how to apply what we know. But reading, I have said this for a long time, taught my kids this, and I've written many articles on it. If you don't know how to read, it's a sure death. It's suicide.
It is.
You can't function in this world. And for the most part, and I think it's straight across the board in North America, at least 50% of the population is considered functionally illiterate. Now, what does that mean? It means these are people who are not up to date in contemporary language, language skills, communications. They don't know how to use it. There's everything from computers to technologies, just even the basics.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it. But there can be upwards as many as 20% of our population is illiterate. And that's criminal. And we all have a responsibility to each other, you know, to help each other, particularly kids. But most people are very ashamed. They don't want to say they don't know how.
Right.
They're embarrassed. They find other men. I tell you, talk about intuitive skills for people who can't read. They're great observers to function.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very perceptive people to get through a day. But they also stay within a limitation that keeps them safe and not found out.
Right.
So I think everybody, if you look around, you think people know because they're doing a job. You think they can read because they're doing a job. You think you know who you're working with or who you're living with. That's just not true. You look around and there are key signals about how people rely on other skills when they can't read. So if somebody says, oh, I don't like reading, I'll guarantee it's somebody who just doesn't know how. So strike up a conversation with somebody and tell them what you've been reading about. If it piques their interest, then you know they have an interest. If you give them even a magazine article to read and they don't read the magazine article, that is your first clue that they don't know how to read. So then you can step up and say, hey, if you have trouble reading, there's all kinds of ways to learn how to read, or can I help you?
Mm-hmm. Now, there's tutors out there.
Sure, but it's to break the barrier. And do it in a way that someone is not embarrassed and not ashamed, and it's without any judgment at all. Everyone, bar none, everyone can learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
And if you're listening to this program and you don't know how to read very well, you struggle with it, there is no shame here. There is no shame. In fact, for you to go and seek help, seek a tutor, seek assistance with learning how to read better, that is not a shameful thing. That is a beautiful thing. And you need to pat yourself on the back for even stepping out and doing that. It takes courage. Go do it, because you will benefit from it. And as you learn how to read better, your writing will improve, your vocabulary will grow, and you'll be able to use and understand more words.
You know, I have to always ask people, you know, we are on like a double information intake, I think, every 30 seconds now. I don't know what all these acronyms are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how long it took me to get the laugh out loud, LOL?
Yeah,
lots
of love. Which one is it?
Yeah, which one?
Uppercase, laugh out loud, lowercase, lots of love.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Well,
I
now you know everything.
No, see, I thought if it's all capitals, it's really like a belly laugh.
Oh, no, that's LMAO and other variations of that.
See, this is what I mean by we have to ask. I have to ask all the time. I say, look, I'm getting old. I'm not up on the lingo. I don't mind. I have to keep educating myself all the time.
Well, I do too. I mean, the reason I know that was because when I was Skype chatting with my buddy a few years ago, I was, you know, he'd say something funny and I'd put LOL lowercase, and he's the one that clued me in. So anyway,
Doug used a word with me the other day. I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. I had no idea. I'm going over to my dictionary. Of course, we can't see each other, right? So I'm over here and I'm pulling this up, and I'm, what the heck is he talking about?
Sycophancy.
Oh, that's the word. What the heck does that mean, right? So, of course, you have to go to the dictionary and find out. This happens all the time.
Means a yes, man. So,
you know, I didn't know that. Like,
sycophants,
you know,
yeah, I know. But see, those are the kinds of words you pick up. And the more you read and the higher level of reading that you can go, you're going to come across words like that. And when you do, look them up. That's a great recommendation. If you're reading a novel or any kind of book and you come across a word you don't know, look it up, because then
actually,
you'll know.
I got to tell you, everybody, Doug was, he suddenly popped up with a, it means this. And I wrote, yeah, I just looked it up. So, I mean, it's pretty funny. Like,
I knew she was right off looking at, what does that mean? But
yeah, well, he's trying to trick me, that's why.
That's
yeah,
right, I always try
to trick me. But here's the thing. We all have a varying degree of information in our brains, and it gets to the point where you just don't want to work that hard. So take it simple, take it slow, and chill out. The more you chill out, the more you can remember. But you get older. I got so many brain files going on. Somebody says, Vicki, do you remember what happened back in? I said, oh, gee, that's an old file. Get back to me in a day or two. I'll call it up.
Accessing.
Because I don't, I guess because I, over time, just don't feel the need to compete, you know, and I don't feel the need to be, you know, sharp as a tack, on the spot, you know, adrenaline pumping. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, because I have priorities. We all have priorities, right, Doug? And right. This is, I think, why people don't read. They have priorities. They go to work. They get getting by. They're so busy covering that energy about, I have to live a secret, I have to live a secret, that for all that energy, it could have just been with a book for a few minutes and, you know, learning how to, you know, read a little bit or, you know, extending it somewhere. And eventually you start to get a little comfort with yourself. One of the things that I did, having been, you know, what they call a borderline dyslexic, severe dyslexic is when everything's kind of in reverse and jumbled up. Mine is... there's an eye flutter. I have this eye flutter, and I had a terrible time. They put me in remedial reading. Nobody diagnosed me. Of course, I come from a time period where, you know, there was the special needs was really special needs, really. So, and it was one classroom in the whole school. But when I graduated high school, I really, my passion was writing, so go figure. So I got a think tank. And it was one of these beautiful big balls with a little window on it, and you turn the dial and there'd be a word, like all these paper, cut-out paper things inside with just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of words. So I'd twist my think tank every day, and there'd be a word. And I'd go to my dictionary, and I'd try to use that word every day. It'd probably drive people crazy, but, you know, I mean, that's how I learned to expand my vocabulary. And I started to look for how these things tie together, because it helped me when I went to read a book. Because very often what happens, if you have glitches in your brain that says, I don't understand this, you kind of shut down and you skip over things and you miss the point. So if I could start to isolate different words, use them in context, so when I came across certain words, it didn't intimidate me. So I could be emotionally more comfortable with the fact that it took me a long time to read a book. And you know, a lot of time, it still does. If I am tired, forget about reading. It's not going to happen. But every day I read. I have, over these many years, of course, I've been out of high school now 40 years. So you develop skills and that different parts of the brain start to work and you start activating and you build on what you know, and the more you access and you find things that are interesting, of course it gets easier and easier and you say, wow, so here I am taking in enormous amounts of information every day in writing and teaching and talking with people and taking notes. I love to learn new things. It got easier. But at first, it's painful. And I do know, I truly do understand from my own point of view, but I have known people who are illiterate, and I know how, you know, really painful that is. But if we take it, just find an interest, something that interests you, and that's what you can read about, and build those reading skills.
Okay, so we talked about communication skills, which includes reading. It includes just getting along with people. And again, if you can read, then you can go learn how to get along with people, how to disagree without being disagreeable. We've talked about a little bit about emails. These are all practical life skills. You know, they will work, they will do you well, serve you well in life. We've talked a little bit about relationship skills. This is all education. And the cool thing about this is when we dawn on these skills, when we try to develop them, and we do, and we bring them on in, and we become better. And you know what happens? Life smooths out a little bit more. It's a little bit smoother, you know, when we are educating ourselves. And if we have children, guess what? We now pass that education on to our children, and we give them a starting point. They can jump off, and they can even take it further because they have more time. And so another big question comes up, what are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them these relationship skills, getting along with other people, conflict management, communication skills, how to write well? You know, those are very, very important that we teach our children well so that they have a better chance of becoming well-adjusted adults, and they have a better chance of success in their lives all around the board. And on that note, Vicki is finishing up her course on metaphysical parenting, and
yes,
that will
I
be
am.
Available. She's been working hard and heavy on that one.
You know, well, you don't want to miss too much because it's, look, it can be a very big topic or it can be a very simple topic. It depends on, you know, who the audience is too. But metaphysical parenting, if we just think of the individual, metaphysics is really about consciousness and energy. If we understand individuality, if we, that very just basic fundamental concept, then we look at our children, look at children as beings, individuals. And you want to support that individual, not impose your own view of life and what you think they ought to be, but, you know, respecting the individual. That is a spirit in a body, a unique individual. And, of course, metaphysics, you know, sure, it includes, there can be past life memory that comes along. There can be alternate experiences. How is, you know, one child a pianist at age 3, you know, and another one isn't? And how is one kid a mechanic, easy? You know what I mean? Every individual comes with their own spiritual memory, spiritual kind of connections into this life. And I'll tell you, some other kids come into life with, they've never seen a refrigerator in past lives. And, of course, I'm going on the premise that there is such a thing as some altered interdimensional consciousness that could be considered to be past lives. We're in a linear experience, so we'll go by that. Now, I'm going to say that this whole piece of writing is quite fantastic, actually, and it goes through the stages from conception all the way up to age 19 in understanding the natural stages of us as a humanity and respecting the individual. Again, to rear a child into more of who they are, impart to them to be self-responsible, self-accepting. And you can do this when a child is 4, 5, 6 years old, if not earlier. because you're respectful of who they are. And again, age appropriate, the dynamics with kids. We also have to understand that biology rules. It really does. So there's a lot of biological changes because after a while, very quickly, I'd say about the age 5, 6, 7, we're not talking so much about fairies. We're talking about how to get along in a day. And people get too grounded, and too intellectual. And, they're all busy on their iPhones now by the age of 8 or 9. But there's a spiritual deficiency there. So how to keep a basically balanced, kind of like impart a balance in life to your children and have a relationship with them where you're still the parent. You're always going to be the parent. So this whole notion of being friends, forget it. Maybe when they're grown and gone, you can become friendlier.
Yeah.
But we have a responsibility to be the guide. So you can connect, be friendly, but you're not their friend, you're their guide, you're the adult. You've got how many years over them? So you kind of nurture and guide them along. But again, to be open to consciousness, to be open to the unique individual's pathway and how we ought not to impose ourselves. And I'm just going to insert right here, Doug, I do not buy into crystal babies, indigo babies, star babies. I refuse. I don't want any part of it because it's prejudicial to anybody who can't live up to it. It's performance-based. It's secondary gains to the parent. It's the I'm special syndrome that you and I have talked about. You preach it, Doug, all the time. It's kids are kids. And if
and
we're going to...
special.
They're all special. If we're going to, raise an individual, to call that individual by anything other than the individual, it just imposes an idea, and it causes great stress for them, but we hear it all the time. And again, people very naively, and innocently enough, and in the name of trying to be a good parent, say they're trying to understand their child, so they classify them, they put them into a category. Just see the individual for who the individual is, ask them how they see it, encourage them to self-study, the earlier the better. And now you are growing up. Remember, children is an adult growing to happen. So, think about that. A child is an adult growing to happen. So whatever you think is cute and they get away with stuff, that lasts till grade 4. After that, they're not cute anymore.
All right, so
that's an adult.
This new course, Metaphysical Parenting, not quite out yet, but it will be available soon at IMHS, metaphysicsinstitute.org. It will be available in the degree program as one of the master's courses and elective for students enrolled there. It will also be on newageclass.com so that you can take it as a standalone course there.
I was on a roll, Doug.
I know you were. Somebody had to put a fork in it.
I know. Yeah, what happens.
Yeah, some of these things you can talk about forever, but
yeah, I know.
And it's good, and of course then they won't have to take the course, so I have to shut you up so that they have.
But it's exciting.
Have to take
the course. there's a twist in this course. To me, education is exciting. And I can get on a soapbox real quick.
All right, now my turn to get on the soapbox.
Go for it.
So we're just kind of sum up where we've been. We've been talking about education, practical life skills. One that we haven't mentioned, but Vicki, you did allude to it, is responsibility. That's an educational thing. We learn personal responsibility. We learn to take responsibility for our actions. We learn to not point the blame or shirk responsibility in those ways. That's a big part of education. And if we use all of these things together, it enhances our life. Why? Because we make better decisions. We make decisions that avoid problems down the road because we've got a little bit of experience. And again, it all comes back to self-awareness. We become more aware of who we are, more aware of the world around us, more aware of the plight of others. And we step up to the plate and we become even better than we were. There was another point I wanted to bring into this too, is in the business world. Are you a manager? Are you a leader? Do you manage people? Well, I've said it for years. You want better employees? Teach them life skills. Teach them how to have more success in their personal lives, too. Teach them communication skills, how to get along. Teach diversity, you know, how to get along with other types of people, different ethnicities and so forth. Teach them responsibility. Teach them self-acceptance. That's one of the biggest ones, is just self-acceptance. And as you were talking about these children, all children have talents and gifts. All of us do. You know, some of us do this and some of us do that. But we're all gifted in various areas. We're all special. And that's the way it should be. So embrace education. Embrace it, because without it, we're not even human. I mean, even animals can learn things, but we as human beings, wow, we have this precious gift. We can learn, and we can build on previous knowledge. That's one of the big things that separates humanity from everything else, is we can build on previous experience, previous knowledge. We can hand it down. So don't settle for mediocrity. You know, settle for top notch. Be the best you can be. You know, always strive to reach a little bit. Have pride in yourself, you know. So when you're writing an email or writing something or talking with somebody, never let somebody else's behavior dictate your own. So when you're behaving, behave in a way, first and foremost, for you. Not because somebody's going to catch you, or not because it's going to, but do it for yourself, because you matter. So be the way you are for you, first and foremost. And if you set that bar a little bit higher and reach for it and continue to grow every day, your whole life will improve. There's one other aspect, too, that I want to get in before we run out of time, and that is the kind of the second part of this principle, belief number 8, and that is, we maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Now, this kind of gets in a little bit on critical thinking and open-mindedness. Now, as we educate ourselves, we have to maintain an open mind. That can be hard to do. You know, beliefs rule, and preconceived notions are plentiful. So when you educate yourself, always use critical thinking, asking questions like why. Why is this the case? So what? You know, so what, so what, so what? You know, answer those questions when you're educating yourself, and remain open-minded. That's one of the big problems with so many different areas of life. Is that, you know, religion and scientism, they're both closed-minded and they're opposite ends, but they both have that in common. They're closed-minded. You know, even humanism, secular humanism, you know, they more of a materialistic bent, and materialism is that everything can be explained with physical matter. There is no paranormal, there is no afterlife, there's none of that. And a lot of scientists subscribe to that. That's why I call it scientism. It's not my word, it's what's called. It's almost like a religion in and of itself. But true science is open-minded and will explore things. True science is grounded and objective, yes, but open-minded. And will explore things regardless of what they are and where they take us. You know, I want to just know the truth of reality. You know, if that means that we as human race are literally the only sentient race in the universe, then that's what it means. I doubt that's the case. But if it means that we're part of a huge community of sentient races, then that's what it means. I want to know what the truth is. So true science means open-mindedness, and it means exploring different avenues and not being closed-minded because it's not popular. You know, it's almost like peer pressure in school. So,
you know, Doug,
we'll describe it.
I think when you were saying the so what, and how does that fit? And I think sometimes what gets in the way of critical thinking is pride, ego, competitiveness. You know, we learn something and we want to be in control, and we hang on to that. I believe it. Okay, I believe this. And anything that doesn't fit into that file is disruptive. It's irritating. So it's very hard to be open-minded, to stay open-minded, if you're being too prideful in what you think you know. So it's a limitation, and that's just something I wanted to point out while you were talking. It popped in my head, and I know a lot of folks like that. They have to, you know, really work on the pride. I've been like that myself. You know, it's like, ooh, what does this mean if I don't know this? You know, and no, how does that fit into what I'm thinking? And after a while, with ease, you just say, hey, I don't know. And so far, this is working good for me, but there's still lots to know. And if we think we know it all and we have the answer, we are so out of our minds.
I know all things except for those things which I do not know.
I love that.
Now, we're coming on in the last 4 minutes of our show tonight. Here in a minute, we're going to share a link. So if you're not on the radio page where the chat room is, you're going to want to get there, and that's simply blogtalkradio.com/MCHS, and then you click on tonight's show, which should be the first one up there, and then you'll see the chat room.
Very exciting announcement.
Yeah, so what we've done is one of our students has created a video, kind of, you know, it's about the principles of belief for MCHS Church, and it's just outstanding. Sam Sampson, with Tech Art Studios, created it, and I'm going to share do a sneak preview, if you will, with the link tonight. I'm going to share it with you in just a little bit here. That way you can kind of watch it once we sign off. But it'll be, for those who are not listening to the live program, just go to mchschurch.org in the next day or so, and we'll have it on the front page there. Right now we have one of Sam's other videos on there, but he's an extremely talented video editor and many other things, and he's just done an outstanding, fabulous job, professional job, represents MCHS very well, and it's something that we wanted to put out. So we'll share the link for a sneak peek in a little bit, in just a minute or two, and then we'll have it displayed on the front page in the next day or so. We're just going to get the get it uploaded to our YouTube channel, and then we'll be able to present it there, but it's outstanding. And one other thing that I wanted to mention, too, is we've talked about the One Planet Accord on different previous shows, and that's on mchschurch.org. Just look for the waving flag and click on it if you want to know more about the One Planet Accord. In fact, go to oneplanetaccord.org and you'll find it. And you can, if you identify with what it's about, you can put the flag on your own website, and we'll put a link to it on ours. So you'll
and you can soon have a bumper sticker.
Yep. That was the next thing I was going to say. I've gone ahead and I've ordered bumper stickers. And, of course, I have to give Lori a little bit of credit for lighting that fire under my rear end. So
yeah,
we awesome. Got that coming, and we'll be able to, those will be announced on mchschurch.org, too. That one, it will feature the One Planet Accord flag, and it will have the saying, "One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny." So identify with that. You can put that on your bumper, your windshield, or something. And those will be available. I'm going to take delivery around April 12th, so I won't have them before that, but they'll be there sometime around.
We've got a lot of exciting things going on, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good things.
All right, so appreciate your time tonight, or today, this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next week. We'll be talking about Principle of Belief number 9. That's all I got, Vicki.
It's good enough for me. I enjoy our shows and our time together, and I'm very grateful too for all the students who join in, and other people who are not students or not members of MCHS. We're open to anybody. So please tell your friends about us, and thanks again.
Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.